Gary Miller's here. And so we'll start out by, first of all, congratulating you because now you're officially the general manager at BTU.
Thank you very much.
You were at the number two position, I think, when we talked before. You know, we were just talking before we went on the air. Gosh, you know, we get to open the windows, and it's nice and pleasant here in February. And obviously, y'all have revenue projections that you come up with based on historical weather conditions. What happens when you have an extremely mild January and February like we're enjoying right now?
Yeah, that's a good question. It actually makes it difficult for us, obviously. We do have projections for every month, and we are under collecting on revenue so far this year. But a good summer, we'll catch that back up.
A good summer for them is 105. Okay, that's just saying that, though.
Summer is always our big season, and that's really what makes or breaks us every year.
Yeah, BTU has been around for a while, and one of the things that you do is you generate more power than you need here in Bryan for your customers. That ends up, I guess, being a component of what your bottom line looks like. So if it's not hot here, it might be, or if it's not as we would expect climatically for whatever time of year, you've got a market where you can go for that.
We do. So there are times when we generate more than we need and sell that into a higher price market, and there are times like now that we don't generate as much as our customers need so that we can purchase cheaper power from the market.
Certainly.
That's what we're doing.
Most people now in Bryan, I guess everybody does now, has a smart electric meter. It's a different look. It doesn't have the little roundy round thing anymore that we grew up with.
Right. What
is the upside from your position as to why it was a good thing for BTU to spend the money to go in and actually change out the old meters for the new?
Sure. In the short term, the upside is less personnel. We have, you know, we can read meters electronically now. They just automatically come into our database, and the meter readings are there. So we don't have to roll trucks, and there's all kinds of benefits to that. Long term, there's possibility of implementing new types of rates and doing a lot of things with individual customers that we just couldn't do in the past.
Now, so the question becomes, is this two-way communication? Is it from the meter to a central unit? Then can central unit in some way communicate with the meter?
It can. And really, the only way we utilize that is turn-ons and turn-offs. So we can send a turn-on or turn-off signal to that meter to say, okay, this customer is no longer a customer and just cut the service off. We don't have to roll a truck to do that any longer. And one other thing, we can also re-poll the meter if we need to. We can resend a signal to say, hey, I need that reading again just in case something happens.
Okay, I got you. Gary Miller, who's the general manager of BTU, joining us this morning. I always tell the audience, watch California, because what happens there ends up crossing the country. And electronic meters were in there first. And I know that there's some concern about possibly changing the way that rates are calculated, which would be easy to do with these kind of meters.
Right. And so that's what we would call time of use rates. And I think that is something that could happen. I think it is down the road, quite a bit down the road, actually. We're sort of really in our infancy stages with figuring out the best way to utilize these meters. But time of use rates, I think, is something that could ultimately be good for us and good for the customers, because from BTU's perspective, it potentially allows us to shave peak, which means we don't have to build new generation now, as opposed to a few years from now. For the customer, if they have the ability to do whatever it is that they do in off-peak times, they can get a cheaper overall rate.
The situation we have right now is Bryan College Station seems to be on the cusp of a tremendous growth spurt that's going to happen. I got to tell folks, I had not been out there until last week. If you haven't been out to see where they're building the new Walmart, that's a pretty big chunk of land that's being cleared out. And that means, obviously, that can cause new, beyond the commercial growth, there can be residential growth. How do you have to plan as you get ready for the next 2-3 years in advance?
Yeah, we do 5 to 10 year planning every year, and that big growth spurt over in the west side of Bryan is a big part of that right now. But we have a projected load growth, and we have a projected way that we have to feed, build transmission and distribution to feed that load growth. We've got a big transmission project going on right now.
Gary Miller here. He's the general manager of BTU. On the surface, natural gas prices being low seems to be a good thing. Is that a good thing?
I think it is for the most part. Natural gas prices pretty much drive the electricity price market, and it right now causes BTU to have very low rates. But that's true for all utilities across the state, should be anyway. The low natural gas prices cause lower electric rates.
We like that.
Absolutely.
Let's try to make it simple. There's basically three grids in America. There's an eastern grid, a western grid, and Texas. Is that right? About right?
That's exactly right.
And so we have this thing called ERCOT that we hear about. And people can remember the hot weather we had and the problem that caused for some people. In fact, folks in College Station ended up having to take a pretty good hit on their electric bill because there was a peak rate that's charged. ERCOT is now it's already raised the rate and now looking to continue to do that. What's the thinking behind why they do that, and what do you think the result will be?
Sure. So currently that maximum rate is $4,500 per megawatt hour, and the talk right now is that it could eventually go to $9,000 per megawatt hour. And, you know, the way that the ERCOT market currently is structured is what's called an energy-only market. And so the way that new generation gets incented to build is by having several instances during a year of those high prices. Mm-hmm. That's where the money comes from.
Sure.
to build new generation. There are other types of market designs that are being talked about to potentially replace this energy only market, which they all have their good and their bad points. So ERCOT as a whole is really kind of struggling right now as to, is this energy only market the best market design for ERCOT, or should there be a different design?
And obviously this is part of the equation where Texas wants to be good for business so that they'll come in. And I know that their northeastern plans, the way they handle their power, is generally a little bit different. Can you explain how the way they handle energy in the Northeast and charge for it and the way that we're doing it in Texas is different?
Well, I'm not an expert on the Northeast, but I can tell you a little bit. They have a capacity market in such that they actually pay a capacity payment to generators to build so that they always have the correct amount of generation reserves. And then energy prices are based similar to what we do now. People just bid into their market at whatever their cost of generation is. But the capacity market is what's different. And so they ensure that there's enough capacity by paying the generators to build. And so the combination of that capacity payment and those energy payments is what the rate payers see. Whereas in Texas, in ERCOT, we don't have that capacity component. We only have the energy component, and we rely on very high energy prices on occasion throughout the year to fulfill what that capacity market does for the generators. And it's just different philosophies, and both of them, so far anyway, have worked to a degree. There is some concern that we've heard in ERCOT, of course, that generation is not getting built, and perhaps down the road this could cause us some problems.
Is it a bad thing that this is a separate grid from the rest of the country?
It's not really. I mean, we've done it forever, and we've not really had problems. We've had 20-year events where we've been we've had to roll blackouts for an hour or a couple of hours, Is that bad enough to warrant saying that we should connect to the rest of the grid? My opinion is it's not. I think the likelihood is that we would have those type of events even if we were connected to the rest of the world. So, there are benefits to us from not being connected to the rest of the other two grids. Let me back up. We are actually connected. We're just not connected via a alternating current transmission line. So there is some benefit in that we can export and import power a limited amount from those grids, but But I think overall, it's really not problematic for us not to be connected to those grids.
Sure. I want to talk just for a second about the city of College Station, because they do not generate power, and you do. You're right next door. They're always looking to get the best deal they can for their customers, as you would expect. Is there some point where you see down the road where they could end up being dealing with BTU as far as a provider?
Well, I absolutely. I think that that is a possibility. We have a Tim Crabb is the new director at College Station, and Tim and I have a great relationship. We talk quite often, actually, and so, you know, we are talking about those types of things. But I know, you know, Tim's got to do his due diligence, and he's talking to everybody else too. So I am very hopeful that that situation arises soon, and I would like for that to happen. I think that we can help College Station out quite a bit, actually. And so Tim and I are talking about it, and you know, we're just waiting for him to complete all of his due diligence to make sure that he gets the best deal that he can.
Sure. Certainly, you wouldn't want to say it, but I don't mind. If you've been here a while, you know that there has sometimes been some pretty contentious situations between the cities, and just from my standpoint, I think it'd be great if they were able to come up with something that worked for both sides. Okay, you've answered all my questions. Did you come in there's something that you wanted to share with us that we haven't covered?
Well, no, not really. I mean, I'm very excited to be the new general manager. I think we are on going along a really good path for BTU. I think our customers should be excited about the things that we're doing, and you know, I don't expect any big changes from what they've seen before, but I'm hoping to carry on, you know, low rates, good reliability, good customer service. Those are my big things.
Well, again, we do reliability. We're used to it. We flip the switch. We expect it to be there, and we really do. We appreciate the job that you do. Again, congratulations on that, and thanks for coming
in
this morning.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it.